the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dityampi, Tatyampi, Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi, Tatyampi, Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and again may it be so. Saranam Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi, Tatyampi, Saha. I turn to the holy river for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha, Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha, Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha, Nirodha, Gamini, Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient and anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. War is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. But this is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and of all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, through thy compassionate mindfulness that proves its path, through thy compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, and in the practice of constant devotion, and in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am lord of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi, tatiyampi, savaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. Have the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
We are interested in suffering.
And if any suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If any suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over limiting suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end our suffering.
Well, I'd like to continue to look a little bit more at something that we were looking at on Thursday night, being a friend.
Being a friend?
Yes.
Okay.
And it just seems like, so I've been looking at practicing being a friend to this human being.
Uh-huh.
And I realize, wow, I don't know. It's just one of those things that seems so simple, but how can you ever be a friend to anybody if you're not a friend to the human being that you're walking around with?
Yeah.
And it was like, duh.
Right, and it is. It's one of those things. I mean, I think this would be the few people really get on Thursday. Like, it's in how many songs? And how many poems? And how many... I mean, it's a part of sort of the common whole wisdom. But how often do we actually stop and take that in and even practice it?
I was like, here I am practicing for how many years? And it was like, duh, you know? I hear a lot about loving this human, and, you know, I don't know, but somehow the being a friend just took. And,
yeah.
You know, I just realized, wow. Well, one thing, what an amazing thing to teach every young child how to be a friend to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
End of story.
Yeah.
You know?
Really. And where recording listening would come in.
Oh,
That would be the skill that, I mean, I think more and more some folks in Sangha are beginning to do that, to bring the practice of recording listening to young people. And that really is, I remember one woman who did it with, preteens, I can't think of the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Anyway, that age group, and how some of the testimonials were things like, wow, I never knew I could be my own best friend, and things like that.
Yeah, and so I feel, I'm kind of in that place right now, like, wow, it's exciting, and it's exciting exploration. I'm like, what would it be like to really, you know, to be the friend?
Yeah.
And I find myself feeling excited to record about it, excited to look to see what would a friend do here.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm finding out is that, like, I've also heard a lot about the integrity of, you know, keeping commitments and how, and I realized I hear that, but now coming through the eyes of a friend, like, what would a friend do in a situation?
Mm-hmm.
It somehow, of course a friend would support me to do what is going to take the best care and be the most loving in every situation. And I don't know, it's just a different shift than I should be.
Right. Yeah. I should be this way. I should keep this commitment. It's the right thing to do. But it sounds like when you shift to that perspective of what would a friend do? Kind of what, so let's say I'm out on a walk with a friend and I'm talking about this commitment that I made and I'm kind of struggling with it or whatever. That the friend would really want to support us in doing the thing that really, that they know assists us, that we actually want to do, and I project would come at it from a very kind and gentle way.
Yeah.
Like, so this friend wants this from me, whatever, to, you know, do yoga, right? But they're not going to come at it, I would project, from a, so come on, what's your problem?
All right. You said you want to do it, you better do it.
Yeah. They're going to find a way to support us that the process itself of the supporting is kind and gentle and compassionate.
Some content on that. Last night I went home feeling pretty tired. And there's some things, commitments I've made to do at night. One of those is to sit before I go to bed. And then there's, you know, a couple stretches and, you know, just things like wash my face. Sometimes I'm so tired. I was like, I'll wash my face tomorrow. Sorry, you know. So maybe that's too much information, but so last night it was like, okay, I really don't want to sit. I really don't want to, you know. And then I imagine the friend being there with me at that moment, and that somebody that really, really loved me, and just, you know, being there and reminding me, you know, I know you really don't feel like it right now, but you know how good it feels, and how it just really takes care of you in a way that, you know. And so to go to that place was way different than I imagined. That person just walking through with me, with their arm around me. Come on, we can do this. And it's going to feel way better than 10 more minutes of sleep.
And so it really is. It's a friend, and as you're talking, I'm just getting a sense of a friend in the best sense. That's sort of a mentoring presence, a sort of a wise presence. You know, in that sense of like, well, even a facilitator in a way, sort of looking at, so, you know what, I don't really want to sit, I don't, and kind of facilitating us to, let's look at that. Let's take a minute to look at that. You know, and reminding us how it feels to do it. And even that sense of like, you know what, I'll sit with you. Let's both do it. Shall we both do it?
It's just that sense of not being alone. And I realized that in some of my external friendships and life, you know, I know some wonderful people, but since I haven't really practiced being a good friend here, sometimes I don't recognize what being a good friend is out there, you know, and I realize sometimes I put up with behaviors and stuff because it's the same self-hating behavior that I allow here. And I just don't have an idea of what it would be like to be with someone that just loves me unconditionally.
It's like we have to build the receptors for that. Even though there's a sense in which, this is my experience anyway, that when we drop into the experience you're describing, we realize in one sense it's always been there, but it's just that we haven't really recognized it.
Exactly.
We haven't really seen, oh, wow, that's there. And we can experience it and take it in. And I think what you're talking about is that once we begin to experience and take it in here, we're actually available for it everywhere in a way that maybe we hadn't been before that.
That's been offered to me as wisdom lately too. All these things that have always been there. They've always been there. That true friend, that whole heart, all of it's always been there. But it's just gotten the receptors, as you said, just weren't activated, and there was just a lot of attention going to the veneer or the overlay on top of what was really real.
Yeah. So even though it's always there and it's always been there, if the attention isn't there,
right.
If the attention is on that computer,
right.
That overlay,
yeah.
We never actually get to experience it.
We don't get to experience it at all. And then, you know, we do that thing of spending, you know, all the time trying to fix something that's not broken and,
yeah.
You know, and trying to fix the veneer.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
yeah.
just so... It's painful, you know,
painful.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work, it's unkind. It
yeah.
sends a message to the human in whatever subtle or
right.
not so subtle way, there's something wrong with it.
There's something really
you
wrong
with it. Fix.
You can't fix it, it's,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. Right, we need to fix it and we can't.
So I'm just excited and to find out more and more what is it?
Yeah.
What is it to be a friend?
Yeah.
You know?
And who is this person?
And that's the other thing that, you know, the year long workshop on how you do anything, how you do everything. I mean, it just seems like, of course, it's not an accident. This is all probably coming up right now, but it's like that, working with that workshop is, I mean, it's such a workbook. It's such a good opportunity to find out
yeah.
a little more about.
Yeah.
Yeah, this human.
Just get to know her a little better.
And let it be okay.
Yeah. One of the things that was dropping in, you were talking about kind of that friend place and the role of recording and listening, and I was remembering a couple of instances that I had that were such a fun kind of stumbling into a practice of that, where I was doing, in one case, I had made a recording where I had gone up on the night before the gate, and as I was closing the gate, I was making a recording. And another time, I was flossing my teeth, that's what. And then months or even years later, I'm listening on shuffle, and as I'm walking up to close the gate, I'm listening to the recording of me walking up and closing it. As I'm flossing my teeth, I'm listening. Such a fun thing. I was like, wow, she's doing this with me. You know, we're both talking our
teeth. Oh, yeah.
And we're both going up to close the gate.
Right.
It's not our first time to go up and close the gate.
Right.
You know, so just that sense of, you know, making it. Sometimes I'll make a recording to wake up to where I walk through my routine as I'm making the recording, and then another morning I'm listening to it as I'm walking
yes.
through it, right? So
yes.
literally it's such a concrete sense that someone's with me
yeah.
walking through this, like you
yeah.
said, spinning, let's get down together on the cushion
right.
today.
You know what I mean? Right, mm-hmm. right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That sounds like fun. I'll have to give that a try. A recent article that I was reading about the same thing, and it was saying that by age 6, at least for boys, that they were thoroughly conditioned away from ever directly asking someone to be their friend, another man.
Wow.
And I can look
so
back.
So that place when you're really little, want to be my friend? Will you be my friend?
That's right.
Let's be best friends.
Yeah.
But then once you get 6, to be 6, that's done. That's
yep.
over.
Yep.
Wow.
There's something wrong with that you've
yeah.
got to be the guy now or the man now.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Wow.
And I can totally relate. And then it goes on to say that and I could find my experience in all of it, then the only way that one has to be friends is kind of incidental. So people at work,
mm.
people you go to school with, people
mm.
that you need to do this with or you
mm.
do that with.
Mm-hmm.
But that whole idea of just outright asking someone to be your friend simply because they were suggested because you're worth it.
Mm.
Rather than you have something to offer or you, right, there's a, you're going to play a role in this thing here and you're going to meet standards in some way.
Mm.
Yeah, and I can feel that you know, it's always an indirect approach.
Yeah. And it does seem like, at least in our culture, that there is that male conditioning, right? That, you know, okay, you know, you're kind of unto yourself and you can't ask. You can't, just because you're worth it.
Right.
That's not a good enough reason. You've got to play a role, you've got to be in a situation. It's got to
yeah.
be incidental that you sort of accidentally become friends or something.
Right.
That's okay,
right.
but...
You're kind of thrown together by fate,
yeah.
and you can kind of choose in that situation, but
yeah.
otherwise forget it.
Yeah.
I mean, just so some fun things with that. One is just making recordings where I ask myself to be be a friend.
You know,
just flat out do that. And then I emailed the article to another friend who has a spiritual practice and says, what do you think of this? And he actually responded to my email, and then before I got the email, I went over, we were meeting, and you know, the first thing I said was, will you be my friend? He said, did you get my email? And because that's what his email.
That's what his email says. That's
so this is like really, maybe we could both feel the conditioning, and just kind of like, well, okay, let's toss it.
Isn't that such a beautiful place where we just, for whatever kind of set of reasons, we're able to just let that down, just let go of the conditioning. I mean, I predict it takes a lot of courage for us to do that, because there's so much that tells us not to do that.
Yeah.
And then to be able to let it down and just do that thing that I'm not supposed to do, well, amazing.
Yeah. And then one other thing, I mean, just a report, so I must be on the right track because Backlash said it this morning.
Very good.
Right.
Yep.
So I'm being thoroughly entertained.
And there
really is that attitude about it. It's like, yeah, this is great. And so to turn to settle into that place of enjoying as much of it as I can, and you know, still want to get mixed up in it, the intensity of it that. You know, not to take it personally or seriously, or invite it in some way and keep it going.
Yeah. It is so helpful, isn't it, to have that information. It's like we talked about at the end of the retreat. You know, often people are just lit up and just excited, and without realizing it, there's this building expectation of like, wow, here's how it's going to be now. And of course, it isn't. In fact, quite the opposite, right? As soon as conditioning can get the attention in any way, it's going to attempt to sink us. It's going to attempt to, you know, do whatever it does. And so it's really, really good to have that information so that when it does show up, we can recognize it as that. And not, you know, not need to even push it away, right? Because that's a relationship with it too. But not need to believe it, and to practice with it to the best of our ability.
Yep.
My experience in those situations is that often I can really practice with it, really practice with it, really practice, and then at some point it often will pull me under. Okay, it got me under. Okay, I see that. And then at some point, you know, there's something that kicks in to support me, and up I come again, and
that's actually a really good practice, and the image I have of it is like a computer booting up.
Mm.
It's kind of been off to the side now. It's kind of come back in. It's checking all the files to see where the files are all in the right place, kind of bringing them up.
That's a good image. Files all in the right place. Kind of that. We were talking about that, I think, also on Thursday, that place of kind of putting I back together.
Right? Exactly. Rebooting I.
And it's got to do that, right? So here you are in the monastery for an extended period of time. So it's like, okay, let's see, what do we have to work with here? You know, how are we going to make that I exist here? So it starts to bring in the files. And to realize, there's nothing wrong with that. That has no commentary on my practice. And if it does, it's, as you indicated, I must be headed in the right direction. Because if it wasn't threatened, right? If its existence wasn't threatened, it wouldn't need to do that.
Yeah.
It could just let you sail along doing your summer thing.
And you're fine. You know? Meanwhile, digging a trench in front of you.
About the friendship, the idea of having a relationship with oneself. In generation when I was raised, the conditioning, I think many females got very young, was that you need to find a life partner.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, it was a husband. There were no alternative relationships available, and clearly. You know, that's what I sort of believed. I didn't necessarily believe the husband part,
But I believe that you know, to be happy, you needed to find some kind of special person that really cared about you, and you really cared about them.
Yeah.
So you look after each other, and you do things together, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent my whole youth, my whole young days, probably beyond what most people would call young, trying to do that.
Trying to look for that someone who will provide all those things that they're supposed to provide and make you feel all the way you want to feel.
Make you feel happy.
Make you feel happy.
And content and satisfied with your life. And, of course, there were a number of those that didn't last. So that's not, well, that's not the right kind. They have to last forever. You know?
Right.
Find with one person, and then you glom onto each other, and you live your life together.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see examples of a lot of people doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it had anything to do with a lot of internal growth or anything like that. It was just more, this works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a house, and we have a car, and and so, so that never worked out. So that was part of the reason that it was appealing to me to come and live at the monastery and do monastic training.
Mm.
Because there were people here, men and women, not a lot of them in that day, still not a lot of them really, but that were living a life where that was not part of it. And it was the first experience that I had of actually experiencing that you could live and feel good, and if that didn't have to be part of it.
So your first kind of model of people who were not making that traditional choice of having someone else who will quote complete me, and still being able to live in that satisfied, fulfilled, happy kind of a way.
With a completely different focus. And and so I sort of, even after I was no longer living in the monastery, I still sort of lived the same way. You know, I lived by myself all the years since, and you know, basically, you know, having the same focus. And so, but not feeling like I needed something else. That was the thing before. You need this thing. You need this other person.
So your attention was no longer on that, trying to get that.
And it was more on, you know, practicing being here and and all of that sort of thing. And so a while ago, this idea floated up that I was noticing that I was really enjoying my life. I wasn't feeling like I was lacking anything. And that was odd, because even when I was enjoying my life, there was still that niggling thing about that other thing, because it was so deeply ingrained. And and, you know, lots of senses of something's wrong with you because you don't do that, so you don't have that. And so I just started becoming really conscious that I was happy, that I was enjoying my life. I wasn't feeling like I was lacking anything. And what came up then, what popped up was, oh, now I could maybe really have a relationship because I don't feel like I need it. Maybe that would, maybe it would happen if I was open to it, because I wasn't anymore looking or really open to it. And I was sort of trying that on for a while. And I realized it came from the fact that I already have a relationship. That's where that idea came from. It wasn't like, you know how sometimes we hear, I want something because we already have it.
We have
it.
We have the experience of it at that moment.
Exactly.
And then we leave it to go get it.
So that, that was just such a great revelation that and maybe I will sometime. I'm getting kind of long in the tooth, as Cher says, for that. But there's not any need for it.
Yeah.
And there's not any scanning the environment for where it might appear from at all. It's just like, who cares?
Yeah, and I just love that. I mean, it's such a subtle place that we really often miss. Often when there's that sort of longing for, or, you know, some sense of, like, lack, to really follow that projection back and to realize that on some subtle level, I must have been having that experience. And in this case, you really got, I am having that experience. I do have that relationship, you know, starting from where I started this morning, that friendship, that partnership, that going along in life with someone who loves me, who supports me, who wants me to be successful, who's just sharing the daily stuff of life with me, realizing, wow, that's where that idea, you know, maybe I could have a, wait a minute, I do have.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, I realized also that I did have a relationship for a long time while I was looking for a relationship. That I no longer have anymore. I can't say that all together. That's not like self-hate over, gets totally vanished. Maybe it does. But I don't live with self-hate in the way I used to.
Yeah.
I'm living with someone who cares.
Yes.
I feel relaxed. I don't feel like nervous that I'm going to make a mistake and nobody's going to like me and all that sort of stuff that I'm used to.
Yes.
I'm just relaxed and, you know, the whole thing of wanting what you get instead of what you want.
Yes.
Practicing that.
Yes.
And learning through the year-long retreat a lot of things, like, you know, that I've always known, but, you know, just keeps getting revealed more in experiential ways, like going through the things that, how do you do those things, sadness, love, hatred, fear, and seeing that so much of what everybody believes in the world is that life is, you know, life is the circumstances, and I have to be unhappy if this circumstance is there. But seeing in having it revealed even more in these exercises that it's an active process of talking yourself into that experience.
Yes.
Not talking yourself of ego, of conditioning,
feeling afraid, feeling irritable, feeling angry. But that's happening in a conversation.
Yeah, and the human has to collude with conditioning and go along with it. But you don't have to collude. You know that's what's going on.
Well, on that point of, you know, for how many years going through life with the most intimate relationship is with self-hatred.
Oh my gosh, that's the absolute worst, isn't it? I mean,
and that point, I mean, Jerry often talks about that, I think, especially when people are talking about being in relationship with someone else, that what we don't realize is that the intimate relationship we have is with self-hatred, which makes us, essentially, it's what Savoy was talking about, for completely unavailable to have a true relationship.
That was
with someone
else. Yeah, no wonder you never find it. Yeah, because every time somebody does something you don't like, you're going to go find another person.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's very exciting, this stuff.
Yeah, it's very exciting and just sweet and right? To just go through life with someone who loves me and wants to play and has no other agenda for me.
Right, and not feeling like there's anything you need. You can be happy with what you have and not feel required to be unhappy because you don't have what somebody else has that you think would be pretty cool, but you don't have it.
Once again, I'm having the experience of the whole conversation is for me. Thank you for setting this up.
No problem. We got together a few minutes early. It's such a sign of presence, isn't it, when we have that experience?
I guess it is, isn't it? So, let's see. commitments. It's been a constant, or let me put it this way, not keeping commitments has been a constant theme from day one in practice. And and I guess a little bit of grace descended a few days ago. And let's see. I'm doing a 30-day retreat. I mentioned that last Sunday. And other times when I've done it, I've noticed, I think it's, I haven't reached it yet, but I think it says in the 30-day retreat that your commitment might change. Mm-hmm. And it kind of did, because something just kind of revealed itself to me a little bit. And it's kind of like a mantra. And I've never worked with mantras because it never felt right. You know, they just, they don't touch. Nothing so far as touch it. Either that or self-hate is just not let it happen. I don't know. Anyway, here's what dropped in.
Okay.
And it sounds so simple. It's be who I want to be. Not I in self-hate version.
Yes.
Not it should be.
Yes.
Be who I want,
to be.
And and it's just being really powerful. I guess because it feels like it was literally uncovered from the inside out, instead of someone saying a good mantra for you would be
uncovered from the inside out.
Okay, and so for about the first 3 days, life was really different.
Life was really good.
Really good, really different. And starting sometime yesterday, I saw the wall trying to be built again. And so the whole conversation about being my friend, who I, you know, and if I were someone, if this were someone I loved, if someone I love unconditionally came to me and said, I can feel the resistance building back in, what would I tell them?
Yes.
And you know, it would just, well, let's do this together. You know, let's talk about it. Let's make recordings. Let's let's really focus on the 30-day retreat and the year-long class and what universe is creating. Let's go to the groups and let's do the meditation.
Let's show up and do the things that we know will support this place that's opened up for us. I think you mentioned grace, you know, this grace descended. And it's that place of realizing, I didn't make that happen. You know, that happened, that just came from the inside out. It was just there. And in that same way, I'm also not making the wall that wants to rebuild itself happen. It's just there, right?
That's a really good point. I'm not doing it. Yes, I've been taking it personally for the last day or so. That the old resistance is trying to build itself back in. Okay, that's wonderful. Okay, that just really sucks.
And it's just for me, when I really do put myself in that place of, you know, a really good friend, someone I love unconditionally, is talking to me about that. And she's saying that, and I can just go to my experience of like, oh, that's such, I know that place, such a hard place, where I've had this opening on something that boy, have I been wanting that opening for however long. And then that opening comes, and how exciting and lovely, and what a relief it is, and all of those things. And then when that, you know, it's like Chris's image, the files start rebooting. It's like, right? And so just that great sense of compassion, and also knowing there's not really a darn thing we can do about that. Because anything we do about that is going to be part of the file system. And so to me, that's where that wisdom was like, you know what? Let's do the 30-day retreat. Let's do the workbook. Let's, you know, get out what universe we created. Let's go to the group. To me, that's that the wisdom of the friend saying, yeah, I can't really do anything about it either. But we can together take the steps to focus our attention where we want it to be.
There was something else that can't be put up. Okay, thank you.
You'll be back.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I really like that conversation about the friend. Mm-hmm. A few things came up for me, but one of the things, and that's just, you know, a little side note, I've been living in America for 26 years now, mm-hmm. and one of the things that has been an experience, really sad, been sad for me, is that I have felt more so here than in Germany that there's no concept here of a friendship between men and women.
Mm-hmm.
That every time I have felt just a connection with another man,
mm-hmm.
Just a friendship.
Yep.
And I know exactly what is what.
Mm-hmm.
And I have approached men,
mm-hmm.
or men have approached me, and that was what I had to offer.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't acceptable.
Uh-huh. Because there's some sense.
Because
we're gonna be
always
friends, it's going to be in there.
It's always about sexuality here.
Mm-hmm.
Always. I've never had that experience
mm-hmm.
here. And it has really made me sad because
mm-hmm.
I have very good men friends that I cherish in
mm-hmm.
Germany
mm-hmm.
From a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have those friendships. And here it just seems completely, it's
uh-huh.
not part of
not
the program.
Part of it. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, that was just a side note.
Yeah.
I've had this experience this morning. I went to do yoga in that beautiful pavilion.
Mm.
And what dropped in for me was that in nature there is no striving. There's only becoming.
Mm-hmm.
And ego is always striving,
yes.
always takes everything and makes it into striving,
yes.
into an effort.
Yes.
And, you know, seeing that difference, I realized, you know, it's like in order to become, it needs such deep relaxation and trust.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the way ego works inside of me, there's always this tension.
Mm.
And even, you know, we were talking about commitment.
Mm-hmm.
It takes this commitment that I make to myself
mm-hmm.
and turns it into striving.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it creates again this tension.
Tension. Yes. Yeah.
So it's right back.
Yes. Yes.
And you know, and I can sense this place of this relaxation and
and letting things unfold. Mm-hmm. But as I said, the ego always wants to come in right away and take it and run with it. So I just see this process inside of me.
And so that becoming requiring that trust, and I think you said relaxation, to just allow the becoming. And that's what's there, I would project, when we make a commitment to ourselves that we actually want to do. And then ego comes in so quickly to put the striving on top of it. And because we're so trained to go with it, it's very tricky not to. It takes a lot of practice to stay in that place of relaxation, to allow the commitment, we could say, to be made from and maintained from that relaxation, from the becoming, and not to have that striving be put on top of it, which essentially is having it taken from us.
Right.
Even if we can, quote, keep it.
Right.
Exactly. It's still taken from us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Then I do what I said I was to do, and I'm doing it again.
Darn it. But it's still taken from us.
Yeah.
Because if it's the process, then we're not getting the thing that we actually wanted for ourselves. As you were talking about that becoming and being the pavilion, which is a beautiful all-time structure that's got only sort of halfway up walls and the rest is just screening. And when one is sitting in there doing yoga, there's magnificent oak trees.
Yeah.
Right? And you think, no striving in that. And just, oh my gosh, the becoming of those trees illustrate the magnificence of that.
So I'm not sure, you know, how to stay in that place, because I can see it so quickly coming in and wanting to take over.
Yes.
And then on the other hand, then it's the thing where, you know, and that's ego too, I imagine, where it says, well, you know, if I don't want to have my commitment taken over and turn that into another have to should. So let's just drop the whole thing.
Yeah.
Good
idea. No, I still don't know. Yeah. And for me, at least, that side comes in when all else fails.
Right.
Well, then maybe, you know what, you're just driving. You can't get past the driving, so you don't just let the whole thing go. Yeah. Which would be lovely if then we were left in the process that we originally intended, but of course we're not.
Eventually, let's just go back to where I started.
Exactly. With often the added self-hate of you dropped another commitment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you began by saying you were really resonating with the friend conversation. Was that a piece of what you were seeing in terms of how to support this person to...
Yeah, I was just thinking, I really like this friend. It's like, because my friends are really important to me for some reason. Mm-hmm. And it resonates with me.
Yeah.
So that... You know, to come from that place in my recordings and listening and support myself. And
Right.
Better try that.
And that's so great. So you really know the experience of friendship and the gifts of that and the benefits of that. And it sounds like I would suggest that you know how to be a friend like that. And so using that to your advantage, it sounds like in this process of, okay, so here's what happens. And you know it really clearly, which is very, very handy. That's an important piece, is to know what the sequence is. And the sequence is something arises, you know, maybe that grace, like June was talking about, and from that place we see a possibility for ourselves, and we make a commitment that we really, really want, you know, something we really want for ourselves, and then the striving process comes in to take it away from us. And then, you know, it can branch off into a couple different, few different suffering places there. And then, but this piece of, wow, there's the relaxation and the trust that's possible, but this sort of come on, this question of, But how can I stay in the original process that I vowed with in this commitment and not allow that striving to take it away from me? Well, maybe I'll try the friend's place. That place of how would I be with a friend in this? And it sounds like what you're saying, use that in your recordings and, you know, explore what that's like to be the friend of Helga, which is a really different, I would project, place than trying to be the Helga who's going to either figure this out or get it through or any of those processes, but to really be the friend to Helga to help her to navigate this, explore this. Mm-hmm.
I think what I'm looking at is that which you're seeking is causing you to seek.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's lovely when there's just that sort of, there's no effort and the willingness. It's just there and to kind of find, And so what supports me when that energy moves and isn't so buoyant?
Yeah.
And of course, it's everything we practice.
Yeah.
And this being put me near love. Mm-hmm. It's that buoyancy is love. It doesn't go away.
Yeah.
The sensations in the body might not be registering the same. Mm-hmm. Nothing has happened.
Yeah. I think in a group we were recently using the image of it's the water that we swim in. And that place of, because it is the water we swim in, it's very easy to lose sight of it. You know, always my favorite image of that is the cartoon of the two fish, right, who are jumping up out of the water. And the one fish is saying to the other one, that's water. But to realize we can't, it was a recent piece of what I think where Sherry was talking about that, just that place of we couldn't lose it if we tried. We couldn't lose it if we tried. You know, and you could plug in any of unconditional love, acceptance, you know, being part, all of it. We can't lose it if we try, but we do often lose the experience of it. It doesn't feel like that. And so, as you're saying, how to,
as you said to me earlier, don't take that personally.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's how it is.
Yes.
That's just the movement of energy.
Yes. Yep, that's exactly what I was saying too when you were saying how to support this human when that buoyancy isn't there. As you say, gosh, it's lovely when we're, it's just great to sense and it's easy and it's so obvious I want to keep that commitment. It would never occur to me not to. And often, at least for me, the beginning of not to is, why would I ever not keep this commitment? It's so easy, right? And then it's not as obvious. And the buoyancy isn't there. And the, you know, and it feels like, how can I support her? Well, for me, one of the biggest places is to realize there's nothing wrong with that. You know, as Chris was talking early on, that place of, yeah, that makes sense. That would be what conditioned mind would attempt right now.
No reason to be bored.
And you know, Helga's image, can it inspire us into further relaxation? Right? So that place where, gosh, it's all just easy and lovely and oh, what a lovely, relaxed place. And then in comes that wall or in comes the files rebooting. And often there can be a movement towards tension. You know, that tension that Helga was talking about kind of And gosh, would it be possible for you to relax even further as that process begins?
So one other thing was dropping in for me on the friendship thing, it was doing the exercise, what makes you the saddest?
Mm-hmm. From the workbook. Mm-hmm.
From the workbook, right. And, you know, it starts with some particular places where things have happened and you know, so those kind of incidents. And then, you know, when people do cruel things or to animals, the environment, and, you know, there's all that kind of content-related stuff, right? And then I get done with all of that, and it's like, it drops in. What's missing is, well, what about me when those things happen to me? And the conditioned attitude is like, well, that doesn't count because you're supposed to just get over it and do something to make up for it. And it seems so anti-friend.
It does. We can't really picture saying that to a friend.
No.
Can't you just get over that? I mean, what's your...
Yeah.
And in fact, I think what it sounds like you're indicating is if something like that did happen to a friend, that would inspire that sadness that you're, you know, something happening in the environment, something happening to animals. That's what you're describing. That's happening to my friends.
Exactly.
Right? Those are my friends.
Someone other than this being and all of this empathy, sympathy, all it's available. That unconditional love is available, and yet here.
Yeah.
Perhaps not so much.
So kind of invites us to that place of stepping back and expanding that to include this person.
And I think like a lot of people said, it's obvious that I know how to do it.
Exactly.
Because it just arrives on its own in all these other places. It's not like I have to learn a skill. It's already there. And like you say, it's a... Oh, hey, I'm being left out of this, that's not my first choice.
Exactly. So just learning to take that step aside or step back to be able to see, in this case, Chris, who's having this experience, and so to be able to have that same relationship with him as you do with the environment or animals or... Such a beautiful movement that we can practice making.
Yeah, for sure.
Anything else?
I just want to say my new favorite word is buoyancy.
Good.
I haven't heard that word for a long time, and it was sort of like onomatopoeia, you know? It's like I felt buoyant more than ever.
Very good.
It was just fun.
The beauty of Sonia. Thank you all.